Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Junk Drawer Podcast. Today, my special guest is Jacob Sharp, comedian, commentary YouTuber, brain cancer survivor. This is such a fun episode, and when we started talking to each other, I honestly felt like I couldn't interrupt our riffing to be like, hey, can we do an intro? Like, I don't know. So there is no intro. So the beginning of this conversation starts off with us talking about Zoom because we couldn't get Jacob's Discord to work. That's why it seems completely out of nowhere, and da-da-da-da-da. Now I'm over-explaining. Enjoy the episode. Oh, you have like a cool guy account.
I wouldn't say cool, but I don't think anyone's been like, Zoom, you pay for Zoom? That's so cool. Yeah, you know what? It's time to take it back. We are cool. All Zoom guys are cool.
Yeah, Zoom guys are cool. Discord dudes are drool. There you go. That's going to be the new like playground rhyme that's going around. Be prepared, everybody.
I like that anything that kind of rhymes is just like, yeah, it's for kids. That's it's what you say on the playground.
Adults don't rhyme.
I mean, it would be a little off-putting if your kid came home and they're like, Discord guys drool, Zoom guys are cool. I would be like, what are they teaching you at that school? What's going on?
I would be like, your internet is officially taken away.
Yeah.
Like, who are you talking to?
I'd be like, my kid's officially cringe. Great. Yeah.
My kid is officially talking to a predator.
All right. Yep. That's true.
If they come home talking about Zoom guys and Discord guys, I'm going to assume they're talking to a predator.
Because here's another reveal. All Zoom guys are predators. I'll say it right now into the camera.
Is that a self-report?
Wait. Did I just out myself?
Say you're a Zoom guy?
No! I mean, they're not. Discord guys, those are the predators.
Everybody but me.
You know
Trust
what?
Me, I know.
You know who are probably the predators? Who? Microsoft Teams guys. I don't trust like Microsoft Teams.
Geek Squad people.
Geek Squad. Okay, yeah. I haven't heard of the Geek Squad in a long time.
Calling them out. I don't even think that exists anymore.
Oh man, I don't think so either. But now I'm like, I feel bad thinking about like all the Geek Squad, all the geeks that are like out of work now.
Because
the squad broke up.
That's sad.
We should make a Geek really Squad sad. Movie where they're like, we got to get the squad back together. And then they break into a Best Buy and they start just helping people without being asked.
If there's one thing I love in a movie trailer, it's them saying, we got to get the band back together.
It's the epitome of like any like bad action writing, but it's the type of writing that it's so bad that everyone like starts to cheer during the movie. Like I remember it was basically Taken, but it was on a train. And it was with
Taken
Liam.
On a train.
It was Trankin. Taken on. I got taken on a train. I got taken on a train ride, and
Taken on a train.
Dude, I swear to God, it's like a movie that's set on a train. I can't remember what it's called, but it stars Liam Neeson, and it's basically like I think his daughter or something gets taken on a train, and
of course it's Liam Neeson.
Of course. Oh, The Commuter. I think that's it. The Commuter. I'm not joking. there's at the end of the movie, I saw it with Curtis and Dean. We saw it in theaters, and it was at the point where it was like that type of writing where they're like, we've got to get the band back together. I think it was like at the end of the movie, they were like, we could really use you on the force. And we had called it earlier, like right before he said it, we all said it to each other, and then they said it, and it was like one of those moments everyone applauded in the theater because we were all like, this is horrible, but it's so funny at the same time.
It's what bonds us.
Yeah. Screaming in a movie theater, like when it's like naturally like loud.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember when I saw Get Out, like there was people who, like screaming like, get out of the house.
Yeah. They were saying the title of the movie.
They said the thing that's what they wanted us to do. That's what they wanted us to do the whole time.
That was Jordan Peele's master plan the whole time. He said, I'm going to get people to say the name of this movie.
Truly a master of the craft, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm. You know, the real shame is that nobody said commuter the whole time everybody was in that theater that day.
Yeah, no one.
No one was
too
like,
bad.
Commuter!
No. But yeah, there was another part at the end of The Commuter. I can't remember. I think it was like close to the name Spartacus. It was something like that. They were like, it was like they were looking for someone by this weird name. And all the people in the train start standing up being like, I'm Spartacus. And then they're like, like they're all trying to protect this like random person.
Oh.
So they're like, we are all Spartacus. And it was like, I'm not doing it justice right now, but it was like piss my pants, unbelievable laughter because we couldn't believe that this like movie about a guy who's just like on a train trying to get like, I think it's like his daughter or his wife back. And everyone just starts standing up for him, even though no one knows who this guy is. They're just sharing
a train. They've
never
heard of him. They're willing to risk it all, though. They're willing to put their lives on the line for this one guy.
Well, they were like, we're all commuters. Shoot me in the head. Yeah, I am a commuter. Like, it was crazy.
That's so, like, Marvel writing of them. Like, you know how shit like that happens in, like, a Marvel movie?
Absolutely. Like when Captain America's like, I could do this all day or whatever
that
shit is. And then they like bring it back in other movies to be like, remember like when he wrote that bad line? We're so
They're so proud of it.
Yeah. Like we're so self-aware.
He's right behind me, isn't he?
There's so many good ones. He's right behind me. That one, it's all, and it like kind of revolves back to like the cringe millennial thing.
Yes, you know, like, let me get on my soapbox really quick. I'll defend millennials a little bit. So I'm not a millennial. I'm like on the cusp. I'm technically Gen Z, but I'm 24, so it's like I'm
okay.
On like the kind of older end of it.
So are you 98. Okay, hell yeah. I'm 94, so I'm fucking dust.
I don't feel like that's that old. I mean, I feel old, so I can just imagine that millennials feel really old. So
yep.
I kind of get it. So I'll get on my soapbox real quick and defend the millennials a little bit. So I feel like a lot of millennials are a little bit stuck in like a certain like time zone of comedy, and that's why they get like made fun of so much.
Mm-hmm.
Like they get stuck in like the Tumblr like 2015, 2016, like this is random.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, dude, everyone who's just like, like it's, like the random, awkward, adulting, any of that shit.
Adulting.
Or like I know people who still will like walk into a room and be like, that just happened. Like they have no problem.
That's so funny.
it's not because now I think we're also in a time where like, like we're at a time in like comedy where like anti-comedy is really popular and being like,
yeah,
being intentionally cringe for like satire is like,
it's
really
like
popular.
Post-ironic.
Yes. Yeah. Post. Definitely. But I know people where I'm like, oh, that wasn't to be funny. You just are genuinely like that. You're like that type of person. Like my partner Eilish and I, we both know someone who like they genuinely will do like awkward turtle. Like genuinely, they will be like,
no.
Awkward. They have no problem.
Oh, dude.
Like people who will like wear like a t-shirt that says like hashtag pizza. Fucking like, you know. Yeah, how fucking millennials are. You're like, random taco cat. Get ready for this.
There's like a level of that that's like comforting for me though. Like it's comforting that anybody feels joy from saying hashtag pizza.
Dude, or like Epic.
Oh, yeah.
Epic is like, now I feel like I've said it enough times ironically that I am becoming, like I'm reverting back to that a little bit out of comfort.
Yeah, like it's just coming too naturally now.
Like now it's, I've said it so many times that I'm like, no, actually saying it is funny. There's nothing ironic anymore. It is funny.
That's okay. I mean, I think comedy comes like full circle. I mean,
it's not. It's like, because you remember like when like, okay, Borat is like a perfect example of this. Like, I always found that like, it, like when Borat came out, it was like, everyone was like, that's my wife, ha, ha, ha. And then everyone was like, that's not funny anymore. And then, like, it oddly came back a little bit.
Yeah.
Ironically, it was like that anti-comedy. I think it's fully back.
Yeah.
But, like, it's so
funny.
It is funny. And, like, okay, I was also just at, like, the Shrek rave.
You know? I saw that. Okay. For those of you who are listening and not watching this, there'll be, like, a picture of him at the Shrek rave. But for those of you who are just listening, what the fuck, like... I saw this picture of Jacob at a Shrek rave, and you know, this isn't the first time that I've seen somebody going to a Shrek rave, and I've just felt like totally like out of the loop. Like I felt like, what the fuck is wrong with me where I'm not getting invited to a Shrek rave? Like, where are these happening? These happening? Like, where?
I don't want you to feel like left out, and I don't want you to think that this was invite only. You can so Shrek rave, I did not know about until my partner brought it up, and then we were like, let's buy tickets, and we took my sister for her birthday, and
we thought
it would just be silly and fun, and it was, but it's like it's a tour of like DJs. Of Shrek touring.
He's there?
Shrek, okay, he is kind of there. He's there in spirit, I mean, he's always right here, dude. He's always right where it counts. Right where it counts.
That's true.
Right in your lungs. It hurts. But so it's this tour of like DJs that put on this rave, and it was really cool. They had a group of drag queens come out for I Need a Hero,
and that's cool.
They did like a big dance number. It was really cool. It was really fun. They had like three different acts. And it was really cool. And it was like at the point where like if you weren't dressed up, that was weird. Like that would good. it was everyone went like to the nines, like everyone was pretty like done up. And it was like a good mix of people who were like, this is hilarious, like LOL, like Shrek. And then there was people who were like, I'm genuinely here to be like
celebrate Shrek.
To celebrate Shrek, and I am a big rave person in general. I brought all my finger lights. I am here to like do ecstasy until like 7 a.m.
God.
So it was like a healthy mix, but there was one DJ who kept plugging his own like dubstep while playing while like remixing like Smash Mouth or something.
People still make dubstep?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, this guy does. that was what reminded me of this like cringe millennial thing, and he was like, all right guys, sorry to be random, but who's ready to hear some of my own music? And then it was like bah, wah, bah, 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 bah. Like it was like to the T dubstep.
Oh
like,
my god.
Like 2012 Skrillex dubstep. And it was just so funny because it was obviously not the time to plug your own stuff, because like at a certain point, and I felt bad, but while he was, like, playing his own stuff, people just started chanting Shrek. And it was, like, because I felt bad because I was, like, maybe he thinks he's Shrek in a certain way where he was, like, this is my moment to show you guys, a little bit about me. Maybe one day there will be, like, I don't know what his name was. Maybe it was, like, Jason, but he was, like, maybe one day there will be a Jason rave and you guys will dress up like me. And, but unfortunately, it was I was just waiting at a certain point for him to like slowly like just like tear up a little bit. It was so uncomfortable, and it was just not the right time, and I felt really bad.
I feel bad for him too, because I don't know, that just gives me like secondhand embarrassment. Like, a lot.
Yep. And I had done like I don't condone drug use, and I mean, if you want to, I don't care, but. I had done a handful of stupid little mushrooms, so I was in
The Shrek rave?
At the Shrek rave, which might have been a bit of a gamble.
Little bit of a gamble.
It was it was cool seeing that, because they always had some sort of like a Shrek meme in the background of like the stage, mm-hmm. like on like a projector. So every once in a while, I would look up and it would be like, I don't know, it would be like. Like the like fucked up animated Shrek with like his mouth like all the way like fucked up one way. And I would be like, ha, like, that's crazy. And then I would also turn and I would see, like, someone dressed up as Pinocchio, and it would be too real. And then I'd be like, I gotta go have some water and sit down for a bit. This is too much.
That seems really overstimulating. I don't know. I mean, I've never done shrooms. I've only done acid once, so... And, like, the time that I did it,
no
I
way.
Was just, like, in a room the whole time, just, like, chilling, like, just, like, watching TV. So I can't really imagine being in, like, a setting where, like, there's people dressed like fucking Donkey from Shrek.
Yeah. And,
like, loud it's, music. Like, I think that might actually drive me insane.
It was, okay, so I've never done LSD. I'm a little baby when it comes to, like, some people are like, no, I've done it all, dude. Like, I'm a baby. I'm not good at,
I thought I was like a baby. That's like the craziest thing I've done. I don't know.
That's well, like I had done not a crazy amount of mushrooms, but it was like I had done enough where it was like fun, but a little like whoa. But if I had done like a smidge more, it would have been I would have been like we're nightmare. All melting, and I'm not a real person, and I am Shrek, and. I would have just started like grabbing people, being like, "Get out me swamp," you know. I would have been a bad guy. So I'm happy that didn't happen. But it was. I mean,
said the thing.
Yeah. What?
Get out,
dude. They did a remix of "What Are You Doing in My Swamp," and it was like 10 minutes of just "What Are You Doing in My Swamp?" "What Are You Doing in My Swamp?" And it got really fun, and then it got really annoying, and then it got really fun again.
Wow. So it has, a whole life cycle. You know, that is something that I've noticed about, like, rave music is that, like, every song is just, like, way too long. And I've never been to a rave, so I don't know what it's like in the environment, but it just seems way too long.
I've never really been to a rave either. And then I heard people being like, this is not a real rave. Like, there was people at the rave who were like, I go to raves. This is not a real rave. And it was
like a
just
rave,
funny.
Like, gatekeeper.
Yeah. Like a rave purist. Like they were like, trust me, I know raves. And then they would do like a weird like thing with like their finger gloves or
trust
whatever.
Trust me, I know raves.
Trust me. This is kind of random, but this is not a real rave. I mean, Shrek is love, but I don't know. Anyways, neon cats lols. I guess I'll go Iken has cheeseburger now. Yeah.
Ken has cheeseburger. Okay, to me, that's a little bit post-ironic to me now. I can see a Ken has cheeseburger meme.
Yeah, I think we all Ken has cheeseburger, you know?
We can. We can.
We truly, you know, and that's something I think people have been trying to answer for a long time is Ken I has cheeseburger, and I think we've finally gotten to a point in society where it's, yeah, you Ken has cheeseburger, dude.
I've been seeing, like, the equivalent of old millennial memes, like, just redone in a different way, too. And
okay.
And I just kind of wonder if, like, there's always, like, a question, like, is Gen Z humor ever gonna be, like, the thing that's, like, oh, like, that's so cringe, you know?
I don't know. I think that's a really good question. Because I think Gen Z, I think they might be too self-aware to become like extremely cringed, you know what I mean? Or like,
yeah.
I think Gen Z is so conscious of itself. And what's the new one now that like is like there's like another generation now below Gen Z.
Yeah. Who's the new guys?
The new guys. I don't know. The new guy. Like, I feel like it's only going to get better. And there are going to be like, Gen Z is too cool to become like a meme of itself later on.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like they've been on the internet or, I shouldn't say they, because technically I am Gen Z, but yeah.
Well, I like
guess
that,
I'm kind of the middleman. So
yeah,
I
you're like
just see both sides.
Yeah, you're like I see the neon cats, and then I see, you know, the bestie. I don't know. I'm not also see. There's me being a millennial, being like, I don't know. I genuinely don't know, and maybe that's proof that Gen Z is too good to be made fun of, because I'm like, I don't know, like the like cringe shit that they do.
I don't think it's necessarily cringe to say bestie, but I also don't think it's like necessarily like very popular and like
right.
the zeitgeist of it right. all. I think it's more so like girly now or like girly pop.
Yeah. I saw someone tweet, I think it was like it would have been like maybe a month or so ago, but they were like, let's go is the male version of bestie. like bros like screaming like.
Is that what like, you guys like, do? I mean, can you confirm or deny that?
I don't know for sure. Like, I don't really scream "Let's go" a lot. I'm not a big like fucking, you know. I'm not like a real person or anything. Like, I'm just like I don't know. Okay, hold on. I feel like lately I've just been like I feel like a ghost. Like, that's like truly how I feel right now. I'm just like, I feel like a ghost of a person. I'm just floating around and watching stuff. But like, I do.
That's kind of sad.
No, but in like a fun way. Like, I just feel not in a way of like, I don't feel like a person. Like, I always just make that joke self-deprecatingly. But like, anyway, what
like
I was going to say.
You bomb where you're like, I'm a hollow of a person
I think what I was trying to.
I know
to,
no joy. Like,
yeah, you were like, do you say let's go? And I'm like, no, I'm dead inside. And you're like, wow, ouch, that sucked.
Am I supposed to not be concerned?
No, okay. But I think I was getting at is like, I have never felt like comfortable in like masculinity or like new masculinity. Like, because I know that that's always like changing and stuff. And like most guys now aren't like, don't cry or else you're fucking going to die of like a, I don't know.
Of gay.
Yeah, you're going to be gay and then that's going to kill you one day, actually. That's like, it's, I don't know. I even like when like new modern like mask folk, I'm like, I still feel like I don't fit in, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I feel that too. And I mean, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of different categorization happening with everybody where I'm like,
yeah,
it's like, I'm this type of person. I'm this type of guy. I'm this type of girl. And like, when it comes to all that stuff, I'm just like, I don't know. Can I have cheeseburger?
Can I have cheese? That's who I am as a person. I am. Can I have cheeseburger? and I burp and fart. And that's all I know. That's all I know. And then sometimes I watch my phone until my eyes start to bleed, and sometimes I put on Pokemon in the background and I turn my face into a pillow and I sleep for days.
If there's something I'm good at, it's definitely oversleeping. Like, I could just keep
really?
Going, honestly. Yeah,
hell yeah, dude. Okay. I'm so envious of that, because I can't just keep sleeping. But I can fall asleep at any time. I just can't stay asleep for very long.
Like, how long do you usually sleep?
I sleep, like, at night I'll sleep in, like, it's, like, 3-hour increments. Like, I'll sleep for 3 hours and then I'll pop up. And then it sucks because, like, I'm like a furnace and I fall asleep so easily. Like, I always just, like, conk out. But I always, like, imagine that I've stopped breathing. This is always my biggest, like, not even fear, but I'm like, this is what I think happens. I just stop breathing, and then after like 3 hours, my body's just like, and then I like wake up and I take a big breath and I go right back out. Like, it's because I sleep so heavy. Like, I'm dense. Like, it's like when I try to sleep, I'm like, huh! Like, it's all like a very intense sleep. So
that sounded
like a
Skyrim sound effect.
What the? Sounded like me breaking open a chest or something, or like
exactly.
Huh. Yeah.
So your theory is that you stop breathing when you sleep.
And yeah, then I guess
you
that's
get one
I
big
guess,
breath.
I guess that's sleep apnea, but like I always because I don't dream very often, especially after like chemo. I like don't dream very often, so like sometimes I just like. Sleep feels like I'm blacking out, and like I'll like it feels like 2 seconds ago I was awake, but it'll be like, and then sometimes it'll be like, no, you were out for like 8 hours.
Wow.
So like,
wait, so is that normal for people that experience chemo?
Usually, I mean, from what I've heard, like there's some people that like they're fine. I think it's case to case, but like for the most part, most people stop dreaming. But like my dreams just haven't like really come back yet.
Do they know why that happens?
I don't know. I haven't looked into, I'm sure there is like some sort of study on it, but I haven't really looked into it. But sometimes when I take melatonin, I dream. And yeah, it depends. I have like 2 dreams a month now.
Two a month. Are they usually good?
No, they're always bad.
No!
But like, not in like a, they're not like night terrors. They're just like, I don't know. I've never had like a steady, like when people are like, I had the best dream last night. And I'm like, mine aren't scary or bad. They're just fucked. Like, they're just fucking weird.
Like it's, weird in like a gross, disgusting way, or like weird in like a...
Sometimes. Like last... okay, so the other night, I had like my monthly dream the other night.
Oh, nice.
And I've been really like obsessing about it because I was in my childhood house, and it was grown up me, and I kept having to like, there was this constant like grizzly bear that was trying to go in our garage, and then there was a group of bandits that were trying to get in the back door. So I was running back and forth to like scare off the grizzly bear, and then I was running. And then when that would get scared off, I would run to the back door and try to scare off these, like, bandits. And it's not exciting and, like, nothing happened. But it was just this monotonous thing of, like, okay, I got to go protect my childhood house. So it was, like, not,
it's kind of nice. It's kind of nice because I feel okay. Like, I mean, not to, like, read too much into dreams. Because I do believe that dreams can also mean literally nothing at all. Like, yep. They could just totally be some fuck shit. But yeah. That seems like one where it kind of is, like, your thoughts, like, filtering into something. And, you know, kind of making something based on, like, maybe. I don't know, like, how you feel about your childhood home. Or maybe the way that that house makes you feel or something.
Maybe.
I don't know.
But it was, like, I love that. But I think it also was just like it went on for so long that I was like exhausted. Like I woke up and I was like, I felt unrest because I was like, that was a very like it was annoying at a certain point. I was like, I'm not even scared of the bear. I'm just like, I have tasks to do. Like I have like I have to like complete this dream before I can move on to like being awake. Like if I don't complete this like level of this dream, like I'm going to be stuck here.
That sucks.
It was weird.
You have tasks to do, like it's fucking like Among Us or something. Oh shit!
Yeah, exactly. Like it was. Yeah, I was. Like, I had to find out who the imposter was, and it was probably me. Like it was. It was a disaster. Sorry, there's someone who's helping me with my taxes, so they needed access to my AdSense account.
I haven't finished my taxes either. Like I did 90% of it one day when I was feeling very like determined to figure things out, but yep. Like. That part of my brain is off now, so.
Yeah, so you guys can have the next 10% next year.
Yeah.
Do give me 90% back of whatever you owe me or I owe you, and then we'll
it's
figure it out.
It's an IOU.
And oh, okay. An IOU, yeah.
It's classic.
Can you guys just, if I write IOU on a piece of paper, could you guys just take that as, like, proof that I will get you back one day, government?
I mean, IOU... Like, that word is bond, so.
Yeah, that's like, I think that'll hold up in court.
Yeah.
In my defense, Your
like,
Honor.
That's like Slom 318 or something. That's like.
It's oh, yeah, like, that's, it's in the Bible. It's like, that's a psalm.
Yes, yes.
Oh, right, I do remember that being sung in church.
They Are would you being say, serious? Because I just made that up.
No, yeah, no, I do remember that. They would be like, okay. They would be like, if I owe you, then, you know, sing, if you know it, buddy. You remember that classic, that church song?
That
if
classic
I
tune.
Owe you, then you owe me. You're the government and you gotta give me cash money.
Oh, okay.
You
now
remember
I
that?
Remember.
And yeah. Then the angels fall down from the sky with like billions of dollars for everybody.
That one's good.
Dude,
one's
I good. That it was like probably my favorite psalm.
That's got to be like in my top five.
Top five psalms. Yeah, the IOU psalm.
IOU has got to be one of my favorite genders, too.
That absolutely, 100%. Dude, have you seen the TikTok of the lady? I can't remember what the guy's name. He's one of these like guys on TikTok that like goes and interviews like Trump supporters and stuff.
I'm
he's
already
like... And he's like, so you think that Trump's still president? And then they're like, yeah. And like, I don't... feel bad for like, I don't feel bad for like the Trump supporters. I'm not like being like, leave them alone. But like, I don't know. I think the like street interview thing is just like, I think it's getting a bit much. Like it's a bit invasive. Like
I roll my eyes every single time I see that. Like it doesn't even matter what it is. Like
yeah,
if you're interviewing people on the streets, I'm just tired. That
like,
being said, I did do it once.
Yeah, but like that's unless you're like, do it like you're not like doing it every time. As long as you're not a fucking white dude who's just like, so what do you know what 2 + 2 is? Like trying to like get, if you're trying to catch people in like Mm-hmm. This like we like if you're trying to catch people being embarrassed or being like stupid or something, I just find that it's just like, I don't know. I think that's always low hanging fruit to be like,
it is.
Look what this fucking conservative said. Like, idiot. I bet they said something a bit nuts. I bet. But like, yeah. I'm obsessed. The thing I'm obsessed with right now is when like they do interview like super alt-right folks, and like for some reason they've gone so far right that they've almost become like an extreme like leftist.
Yeah, like they're just so close to getting it. They're so close to understanding the point of it all.
Oh, like, and it's have you seen the one of the lady who's like, who's she's all mad because she's like, there's not 87 genders, idiots. And then she's like, there's a billion genders. Everyone has their own gender. And then she's, and then he's like, are you trying to say gender's a construct? And she was like, it is a construct, which was so.
Wow.
It was like mind blowing. I was like, all right, I think now they went so far that now they're starting to get
now
it almost.
Now they kind of get it, yeah. It's, wow.
It blew, and because like there's sometimes where like there's some people that I want to be like, listen, I also don't trust the government, but I just think that some people, well, not some people, all folks deserve rights. That's like our main difference.
Yeah, it's like, it's just like so much more like work. Like, how about mm-hmm. just take the time to understand people, or I don't exactly. know, maybe like
it's
go on a walk, go on a hike, like that sounds
hike,
nice,
dude.
Doesn't
it's,
it?
doesn't that sound nice?
That's also so interesting because like I really hope and feel like people can change and be better. So it's like somebody like that who like went fully all the way around and like basically just explained a concept that we're like, yeah, that's literally all we're saying. Like,
right.
I wonder if there's like a degree of like, okay, so are we gonna like explain to her like what she just said and why that makes
yep.
sense? Or yep. are we just gonna kind of be like, oh, she said the thing, you know, she's so dumb, you know, like, I don't know. Nobody should be expected to have to explain all this to anybody, but at the same time, like just doing like the gotcha stuff only isn't exactly helpful. Like maybe
yeah.
if you're gonna do a gotcha, maybe also do a explain ya.
Yeah, explain ya, I like that.
You know, somebody who does a really good job of that, and you might know him, is Noah Sampson.
Dude,
like,
Noah
does a great job of explaining things.
I think that Noah is one of the best commentary YouTubers right now, and he's
yeah,
just, like he's so
because he's not a gotcha. He's the explain-ya.
He's the explain-ya, and he's but he does gotcha in such a like really smart and like he does a gotcha in a way that does teach you. It does explain you. Like
yeah.
he'll get both in.
He will get you and he will explain you.
Which I find is so difficult because like to be someone who is like educated and like has good intentions and has like, I don't know, a good outlook. And then to be funny, like Noah's so good at that. And he's the type of like commentary YouTuber that like gives me like a bit of hope, like seeing like, you know, his shit recently has been awesome.
I've been trying to make things on like my main channel just about like silly things. And I think it's simply just because I often feel like I'm not smart enough to like explain concepts.
Yep. I'm not trying to affirm that. I think you are smart enough to do that, but I know what I agree with that feeling. Like I feel that all the time.
Yeah, so it's like, so rather than explain something poorly, I rather kind of like talk about like a movie or something. But I mean, also, it's like, I'm also never going to be like that guy that's just like, it's kind of standing in the middle, because like, I don't really believe in doing that. Like, it kind of frustrates me to see like big creators just kind of be in the middle about something like as serious as somebody who's like advocating for racism or advocating for like misogyny. Like it's
yep.
hard to watch. It's just
yep.
like cringe. It's just like,
yep.
Oh, I don't know him. I don't know. I don't hate him. Like I don't know. Like it doesn't matter that you don't know him. It's like maybe just be bold enough to say that misogyny isn't cool. Like
yes,
I don't know.
Exactly.
I just don't
yeah,
think
yeah.
it's that insane.
No, it's and that's the thing too, is like it is you're right. There is like a weird like, and it's not even a pocket of the internet. Like, a large majority of the internet is on the other side being like, Sneeko's not that bad. which is fucking crazy. So I think
that's what I'm seeing, you're right, a lot
like,
of.
There is a thing of like still trying to like, hey, no, trying to change people's minds. But I always get scared. Like, I am always on the side of like, I don't know if I am
the
intelligent
right
enough
to do this.
Well, I just don't know if I have the a good enough voice or a good enough like articulation to be like, I don't know, to make my point that I want to make.
Yeah,
I always struggle
with
that.
I'm worried about being the gotcha. I don't want to be
the gotcha. Yeah, that's the thing is I don't want to rely on being like, all right, this is so fucked up. Anyways, guys, like and subscribe. Like, I don't want to be that.
Exactly.
I want to look at like fucking little like mushroom guys that walk around and stuff.
One of your most recent videos was like the least controversial thing to ever happen to YouTube, which was where you said that ducks would make good pets.
Ducks would make good pets. Thank you for saying least controversial. That was a video that I, because sometimes I always get nervous being like, I know someone's going to be mad about this or something. There's always, you know, because even on like the smallest things, like people are like, actually. And that stuff always like, that's why I can't look at comments anymore. Whether it's positive or negative, I can't look anymore because it's unhealthy. For me, at least.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
like,
no, it is unhealthy. It definitely is. And I think after the first day after you post a video, that should be it. Call it. No more reading.
No more reading. I even go like first like 10 minutes or like first 10 minutes to maybe a half an hour. And then I'm like, I got to stop because like it's going to be obsessive now. And
yeah.
And because when I first started making videos, I would make one and then I would like not even look at the comments, but I would just like feel really down and I would seriously like stay in bed for like a day or two. And I don't know what it was, but it was like, I don't know. I just felt like so low afterwards.
Yeah, I totally get that. I think it took me a really long time to get to the point where I am, where now I just feel like, you know, I can't control what other people feel or say about me.
Yep.
Like, all I can do is just, like, be the best person I can. Like, I don't control any of that.
You know?
That doesn't have anything to do with me. Like, I know who I am. It took me literally, like over a year, I think. And that's why, like, my content, I was really struggling with it for a while and, like, only posting, like rarely posting just because, like, I just couldn't deal with it. And, like, a lot of it was just, like, it was like negative slosh. It was still like a negative slosh of people like defending like my ex-boyfriend that I was with and all that. And it was
oh
just
god,
like, it was just very tough. But now I'm just like, if anybody even says that, I'm just like, wow, you're still on that? That's like fucking like
that's old news.
Can you like go learn how to make like salsa?
Yeah. Like can you like get a hobby or something?
Learn
like
how
can
to
you
do
start
the
like
tango.
Yeah,
like,
you should like
nice?
I don't know, like go read or something or like I don't know. Get your own relationship or life to like complain about. Like that's
exactly
I don't know. It's,
like it's loser behavior and like I just don't give a fuck about it anymore. But definitely at first, I totally did. I was totally like in bed. I was like, myself on the ground.
Yep. And it was even when I saw, and when I do, and like, okay, I'm not going to complain about like seeing like nice stuff. Sometimes
no, you
like,
can. That's too much too.
Sometimes it's too much. And like, that'll like, I don't know. I'm trying not to do things that like temporarily boost my happiness or like my serotonin or whatever. And I feel like sometimes like I will seek out like really positive comments like make me feel better about myself, but it's so temporary that even afterwards I like drop. So like that's, I don't know, that feels like such a weird thing to like be like, I can't look at nice stuff, it's too much. Like it's that's well, so I don't know, I think that's that was a bit pompous of me, but like
no, it's
I don't know,
okay.
Do you know what I
like,
mean, like
I think reading too much nice stuff for me, like, please comment nice stuff, by the way,
please nice stuff. Positivity is like the only thing that I think we need to comment on stuff. I don't
for
like.
For sure. Like, I don't think I've ever, I can't remember ever leaving, like, a mean comment on a YouTube video. Like, I think I've left, like, constructive criticism for people, but it's never been, like, mean. So, it's just unrelatable to me for somebody to, like, just, like, go in somebody's comment section and be like, you're ugly as fuck. Bye.
Dude, yeah, like, the amount of times, like, when I've done videos, like, I remember there were, I made a, this is, like, maybe a year or year and a half ago, I made a video about, like male Karens or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And like the amount of comments on there that are like, what does this fucking guy with painted nails know about being a man? I was just like, this is not even like, that to me is like another cringe millennial thing when people were like, no, gay is bad.
Yeah, like when people would just describe things as gay like all the time. I mean, to me, unfortunately, no one's ever said that about me, but like I would take it as a compliment.
100%.
Because like I'm bisexual, so it's like, or pansexual. I don't know. I use the words interchangeably.
Yep.
Don't know why. But basically I could just be attracted to anybody. But the point is that if I'm not exuding that energy, I'm like, what am I doing wrong? I want
right.
Like, I want all the gay people to follow me.
Dude, absolutely. I want every comment to be like gay, 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 gay.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, it's always so funny to me when people are just like, and maybe it's, I don't know. Okay. It's just funny when people are like trying to inflict like gotcha bullying, like fucking roasted you in the comments. Like, I don't know. I think that's such a funny, like weird W to take, being like, ha ha, nice try, idiot.
Yeah.
Like that's, I don't know. It's so strange to me.
Seems like a waste of time to me.
I mean, yeah, you're telling me, brother. You're telling me.
As for the positive ones, I think reading too many positive comments for me is, it makes me uncomfortable for some reason. I don't know why. I think it's just like, it's like a disconnect between what they're talking about and like realizing they're talking about me. And then it's like, I just feel weird. And mm-hmm. I do feel good, but it's also like, it's too much. And it's also like somewhat a little bit of like pressure too, to be like, to mm-hmm. continue being what they want me to be. Mm-hmm. And what they want me to be is myself. But in my head, I'm like, oh, I need to do something. Like, I need to be like way better, like right now. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, dude, I online perception, I feel like is such a weird and like, I don't know. I think it affects all of us. Like, I think I have tons of anxiety about how I am perceived online, but I have so much anxiety. Like, I have so much anxiety about being like, I want to make sure that the person I am in, like making content or comedy or whatever, I want it to be the same person. But like, there's sometimes where I'm like, but I can't be the same person I am on stage as I am, in my real life. Like that would be insane. That'd be like, that'd be so frustrating, you know?
Actually, like, I was going to ask you, since you're a comedian and since you've been doing tours, has anybody done the thing to you where they're like, oh, you're a comedian? Tell me a joke right now.
Dude, since I've been doing stand-up for now 10 years, and the whole time, whenever especially like fucking like someone's boyfriend, like someone's just like straight annoying boyfriend that's just like, oh, you're a funny guy? Make me laugh. Like, every time, it's just some guy named fucking, like, I don't know, like, Chris or, like, Brad or, like, any shit like that.
Fucking Brad.
Fucking Brad just being like, okay, let's hear it, funny guy. Like, so annoying. And I just, there's time, and I think this is, like, the cliche that, like, all, like, comedians say is, like, okay, well, like, what do you do? And they're like, well, I'm an accountant at this firm. I'm like, okay, well, then fucking account for me, then. Fucking account.
Yeah.
Then. Like, do your thing then right now. Like,
yeah, let's see it.
Let's see those numbers, smart guy. Huh?
Crunch them.
Yeah, exactly. Where's what's the stock market at right now, idiot?
I don't exactly know what it means to crunch those numbers, but you better crunch them.
You better crunch them. They're a wolf of fucking fuck you street. I don't know. Yeah. But like, it's, that has always been like the thing, especially like when you don't have like notoriety and you're like starting out or like, you're still like trying to find like, you know, like trying to get work. I find like that is like that's such an annoying place to be, because like people are like, well, what have I seen you in? Like if you're a comedian. And
Come on. But
that's such a thing because, like, people don't believe that you can be, like, a working, like, entertainer, whether, like, you can work and not be the most famous person in the world.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Everyone's like, all right, well, then do you have, like, a Netflix special or something? It's like, no.
Oh, my God.
But that's because that's, like, it's obviously, like, people who don't work in this industry don't understand, like, fully how it works and, like, how people make money and live. But it's so funny to see that, like, and comedy is definitely I think one of the ones where it's like no one really goes up to musicians and they're like, okay, sing a song.
Yeah. Sing a song right now.
Can you play your little bass right now? Play your little bass and play me a little lick.
Where's your bass?
Plug it in. Where's your arena full of people? Play me a song. Like I find comedy is the only one where they're like, okay, they're like, fucking dance, little clown. Do it.
I was actually going to ask you too. Like how has touring been for you? Like, has it been like majority like a really good experience with like fans
it's an experience that has changed my life forever. For meeting people, it's the coolest thing ever. I love meeting folks after shows, and I love talking to people who, like, whether they've know my videos or like know me through Curtis or like anything like that, or like it's just cool. And like the amount of people I've been able to talk to about cancer and stuff, like, that come to the shows, and they're, like, whether they're, like, my mom is diagnosed, or, like, I was just diagnosed, or, like, whatever their situation is, it's cool to talk to people, especially just because my set is so focused on cancer. It's been really cool to, like, talk to folks about that and, like, see people who, like, connect to that. It's really cool.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you're one of, like, the most... people. I'm not going to say this very well.
No, say it. Say it. Say it exactly how you're going to say it.
You are one of the most people when it comes to like being very open with like your cancer experience. Like even like just your bio on Instagram is like, I had brain cancer. Like it's very like straightforward, like in your face, like, awesome. You know, like let it be known. And like, I think that's a good thing because I mean, I'm sure a lot of people feel a certain way about, you know, what they're
going
through. Thanks,
buddy. Well, yeah, like, I don't know. My big thing is that, like, cancer can be really isolating. That's because I feel like no one has, like, a good grasp on how to talk about it, like, in a very plain setting. So, like, because you know how, like, folks are always like, oh, you're so brave. And I don't know how, like, it's always, like, the thing where I feel like people are always trying to say, like, I don't know how you're doing this. And it's like, well, I gotta live, dumbass. Like, I'm trying to not die. Like, that's why. It almost feels like that. And I'm not trying to be mean. I know people's intentions aren't bad. But it's just like, I don't know. I feel like that type of the way we talk, like when we talk about that, when we emotionally fetishize people who are sick or cancer patients, I find that it isolates them even more as opposed to just being like, if you talk to me normally, because I found out really quick that so many people deal with cancer, whether it's like, you know, like whether you know somebody or it's like you're a family member, a friend, or you yourself is diagnosed. Like, it's such a thing that I'm like, it's so common that it's so weird that we don't have a grasp or like a good, like, is the word rhetoric? Is that it? We don't have a good, like,
yeah, we don't have a good. We don't have rhetoric. There's no talk about it.
There's no language for it, really, and it's just like I'm like, that's why I'm like, yeah, I have fucking. That's why I try to be like, I have brain cancer, because that's like as plain as it can be, and it's, I don't know, I just want cancer to be normal, I guess, is my thing.
I could imagine how frustrating that is, and it probably felt like people were kind of like talking down to you in a way, or trying to like dumb down what you had to say. And like, well, in reality, it's like maybe you just wanted somebody to be like, oh, that sucks, dude. How can I help you?
That is exactly it. And like, because I get that folks are like, I don't know what to say. And I wish people would say that as instead of like building it up to be this big thing. And like, because I always get, I know I shouldn't be like this. I get kind of petty sometimes. And I'm like when people are like, oh, like you're so brave. Like, it's so amazing that you're a survivor and all this. And I'm like, what about all the people who died? Were they not brave? Like, that's weird that like I'm so brave for living. It's just so condescending without, I think, trying to be condescending. But like, mm-hmm. It's just funny because I just, I don't know. I just think it would be a lot better if people were more honest and being like, I don't know what to say. I'm really scared of dying. So, like, I just want to know how you feel right now about having your cancer. And that gives, like, that'll give people a chance to be like, yeah, it is scary. I'm fucking scared. I think I'm going to die. Like, it's because, like, there are things that, like, you think about when you're sick. And I don't think a lot of people are given an opportunity to talk about that. Also,
yeah,
if no one wants to talk about it, you don't have to talk about it. That's the other thing, too.
Yeah.
Like, I feel bad. I don't want people to be, like, going up to people being like, Jacob talks about jerking off in the hospital. Did you ever jerk off in the hospital? Like, I don't want people to do that and, like, start being, like, asking people to be too vulnerable. But, like, I don't know. I just wish there was more of a comfortable conversation.
For sure. I think that, I mean, I could imagine that maybe people who do have cancer probably feel like they can't say anything because they're making the other people feel uncomfortable. And then that makes them feel like they shouldn't say anything.
Yes. Which is even more uncomfortable, though, which is so funny. Yeah. You know, yeah. Like it's which I get. It's always going. It is uncomfortable. Like it is. I get it. Yeah. You know, no one wants to fucking die. That's, I'm right there with everybody. It's weird. It sucks. But it's like a thing where I'm like, I don't know. I'm always just like, yeah, like if you are honest about it, as opposed to being like welling up with tears, being like, this is really hard on all of us. Like, don't do that. Don't like build it up so much to where the person feels like, I don't know, like they have to be this brave, like warrior. Like, yeah, like yeah. this is our fight. Like, we're doing it. Like, I don't know. Because sometimes I'm like, this isn't glorious. Like, I'm just sitting in a fucking hotel room. Or not a hotel room, in a hospital room, shitting in a bedpan right now. So I don't feel very brave, you know?
You know, cancer is so common. I can't say that, you know, I haven't experienced being around somebody who went through it myself. I mean, my mom had skin cancer when I was like 12, 13. And I mean, of course I felt really bad for her, and I never told her this and never will, but it was pretty traumatic for me as well, just because of the surgeries she went through and stuff. And I was taking care of her, and like, just quite literally, like, part of her face was like missing, and it was like, whoa, very traumatic. So
absolutely, but,
like, I feel for that. So I mean, people need to feel like they can talk to people, and they don't have to just, it's okay to just be like, I just want to listen to what you have to say, because I'm uncomfortable and I don't really know how to help, but like,
exactly, tell me, buddy. And exactly, and that's the, but like that, and that honesty, like, will be so helpful to the people going through it, you know?
Exactly.
But that's wild to hear about your mom. I know you just said, like, you would never talk to her about it, but, like, do you think there would ever be a time where you would be like, that was fucked, like, to your mom? Or, like,
maybe
like,
I should. My mom is kind of, like, an interesting figure, though. Like, okay. She's kind of a character. So
okay,
like,
she's a bit of a kooky lady?
She's kind of kooky, yeah. She's a little hard to talk to, I would say. Like,
okay.
It's so hard to explain to people who have never met her. Like, I tried to explain this to my boyfriend, and then when he finally met her, he was like, oh, I get it. But, like, before that, he was like, what do you mean?
Right. He was like, sounds like you're kind of being mean to your mom.
Yeah, like, no, I'm not being mean. Like,
yeah, okay. Got it.
She's a weirdo.
But maybe she would get it then, being a weirdo. She would be like, it was fucked. I don't know, you know.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't want to upset her. And I
That's
feel like
true. There is a thing, too, where, like, being overly vulnerable with other people's diseases. I don't know. It can be very delicate and difficult because, again, sometimes people are just like, I don't want to talk about that because they might not have been able to deal with it themselves yet or whatever.
Yeah. I was actually going to ask you that, too. Like, when you talk about all of this stuff and you're, like, joking about it, has that, like, been like a really good outlet on like letting things go? Or do you feel like sometimes it's painful to talk about?
For me, it has been the most like fulfilling and the most like therapeutic thing that I think I've ever done and that I could have ever done. And I think I was really lucky that like I was already like, I've always been someone that's like, will make jokes about stuff to make myself more comfortable. But this was when I was sick, I was like, oh, this will be something that I won't be able to stop talking about. And I feel really lucky that I have that, because being able to talk about it and being able to, like, I don't know, poke fun at it has been, I think, the best thing for me. And there's been days, obviously, where I don't feel like talking about it, and there's days that I feel exhausted, and I still wake up every day, like, where I'm like, I can't believe I have fucking brain cancer. Like, that's fucking crazy. But, like, I don't know, talking about it is, like, my favorite thing to do, and it's been the best thing for me.
It's nice when being, like, vulnerable and open and just silly about things can be, like, yeah, a healing process for you, and also other people. Like, I'm sure that also helps them with their feelings surrounding it.
I hope so too. I hope people don't walk out and they're like, well, that made me hate how I feel about my cancer. Like, I don't
they're
want
like, I hate life.
They're like, yeah, I hate that cancer guy. That guy sucks. I hope that people do get to feel better about it, because it's crazy.
You know, something that people do online, and I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but it's definitely happened to me, and I've seen it happen to others, is like, when people bring something up that's like traumatic and like they're just talking about it, and they'll just bring it up and they'll be like just joking about it, people will be like, you're still on this? You're still talking about this?
All the time. Does it? Okay, so is it like when people talk about your ex or something? Or if you bring it up?
Yes, they'll be like, you're still upset about being groomed and losing like 6 years of your life? Like, get over it.
Dude, that's so crazy to get mad at someone like talking about their trauma, whether it's casually or funny or serious, whatever the circumstance. I think that's fucking so cruel to be so weird. And like, I always find it's like I expect that sometimes from like older generations, maybe, where they're like, fucking push that shit down and shut up and get to work. Like,
put your cowboy boots on, get in the tractor.
If my fucking uncle looked at me, I'd be like, yeah, I bet that's what he's gonna say. But it's weird seeing that, like, online or from younger folks being like, because I've gotten those, I have a bit about it in my stand-up. Like,
really?
Because, like, I start by being like, I'm gonna talk about cancer the whole time. And, like, I'm like, you know, sometimes I get DMs and stuff that are like, we get it, Jacob, you had cancer, let it go. Which is like,
what do you mean, like, let it go?
Dude,
like,
I swear to God, the amount of times that I've seen messages that are like, let it go, dude. Or like it's ridiculous to me, because I'm like, hey, like, because my thing is like, as if you had what I had, as if you wouldn't be like, in your fucking like Twitter and stuff, being like, can you repost my GoFundMe, please? Like as if you wouldn't be like screaming all the time. Being like, ow, like my fucking brain, like as if.
Dude.
You're saying that you would be like, no, I'd probably shrug that shit off and like be fine. Like, shut up, as if you wouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
As if
you would.
Like every time I'm just like, fine, you have brain cancer and try not to talk about it. Try. I dare you.
Yeah.
I dare
you. Seriously. Like,
dude, you get a catheter shoved up inside of you, and then you try not to be like, hey, have you guys ever had a fucking catheter inside you? Because ow, oh my God, that'll change you forever. Nothing wakes you up in the middle of the night like nudging your catheter. Ow.
Oh my gosh. You're absolutely 1,000% entitled to talk about that for forever.
And so are you. And so are you. It's crazy to me that, and I guess, like, you know, if people don't want to listen to it, that's fine. Go watch something else. Go listen to something else. I don't care.
Right?
But like, it's so funny to be like, to like, as if I'm going to see that and be like, you know what? You're right. It is time to let it go. It is time to get over
it. Yeah, right? I'm over it now. Yeah,
wait.
I think I'm over it.
No one ever told me to get over it. Fuck.
That's,
I think I'm over
really
it.
Good advice.
Oh my God. My therapist should have said that years ago. I would have gotten all over all this shit. I guess I'm fine now.
Like, yeah, so thank you to whoever sent that message.
Yeah. And if they ever get cancer, get over it. There you go.
Just return right back.
Get over it, dude. Do you ever, like, get, like, I don't know, I just find that sometimes I get really, like, cagey, and I kind of anticipate when people are going to be like that. Like, maybe it's, like, a defense mechanism a little bit, where, like, even if someone gives me a slight critique on something now, I get defensive, and I'm like, well, no, here's what I was trying to do, and here's what I was, and they're like, no, I wasn't saying anything bad. I was just, like, trying to, like, point this out. But then there's sometimes where I'm like, oh, so you want me to get cancer again and die, huh? And they're like, no, I was just saying that, like, your audio was a little choppy in this video. And I was like, oh, so you think that I'm a liar? Do you think, like, I'm a fucking piece of shit liar, huh?
So you want to kill me?
Yeah, like
that's
I find
pretty crazy, buddy.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Oh, so you're gonna try and murder me, huh? All right, 911, please. My friend hates me and wants to kill me.
Wow, yeah. I can't believe you put that online where everybody could see it.
Yeah, kind of cringe.
No, I mean, yeah, I wouldn't say I take YouTube comments too personally. I think
right.
I do take it personally, though, in real life.
Yes.
When people come up to me and, like, it's not these people's fault.
No.
But, like, there's people that have been unaware of what happened to me in, like, the course of the whole last, like, year and a half. Like, they have no clue. Last time they ever saw me was in some goofy, like, fucking meme on TikTok, okay? They have no clue. They yep. think they're coming up to me and they're like, dude, it's like that girl from, like, the meme, like, that's so, like, and I it takes everything not to get defensive in it. And I won't lie. Like, sometimes I do. Like, sometimes I think I could handle it a little bit better. Like, I think sometimes I literally have guilt trip people in real life for
good.
Coming up to me about it.
But good. Like, there's times where, like, I don't know. Because I think when you are, like whether you're, like, being, like, a meme or, like, you know, making content or, like when you are this, and this, I think this goes back to, like, the way we, like, the fear of being perceived or whatever. But, mm-hmm. like, it can be kind of inappropriate to be like, hey, you're the fucking, I don't know, like, you're
yeah.
the fucking chopped off dick guy or whatever. Like, you're like, you're like the poo your pants guy, you know? Like, you're the fucking, like,
oh, didn't dude, you like shit yourself that one time?
didn't you pee blood? That's fucking, dude, you're crazy, man. Like, and like, as if, because like, Eric, do you know Eric Andre, like the comedian?
Yeah.
So he's talked about on podcasts before, like in interviews, being like, because like people will come up to him and like literally like shove him from behind and then being like, fucking bird up, dude. And then
oh
he's
my
like,
God.
And he's like, okay, man. Like, and he's like, there's a point where like, I think some, like an audience or like a viewer can be like, oh, he's that guy all the time. Or,
yeah.
or they're that way all the time. So they're going to treat you like that in real life. And you're like, no, I am playing this up a little, or I'm not constantly like,
yeah,
like I don't walk around and like say a joke. And then like there's like a crash zoom and a fucking like, I don't know, explosion or like, that's not, it's just funny to be like, I don't know, to think that like maybe, I don't know, bad luck, the guy who was like Bad Luck Brian or like any like classic meme.
Yeah.
Like to think that that guy didn't like, I don't know, like maybe go through something traumatic in his life. Or
yeah.
Like,
and then they're like, oh, it's that bad luck guy.
It's bad luck Brian. Dude, like, can we get
guy.
A fucking photo, dude? That's crazy. You suck. Like it's, I don't know. It's a lot to think that like, I don't know. I think that sometimes people purely see the entertainer or the content or whatever it is as the full representation of that human being, as opposed to like having a little shred of empathy and being like, I hope that their day is going okay. Like, and I don't want to be like the guy, I'm not complaining about like every conversation I have with someone who knows me from my videos. That
yeah.
is always like the best experience. Like
yeah.
I, for the most part, when folks come up to me and they're like, hey, I watch your videos, that's the coolest thing. It makes my day. It makes me so happy that I get to connect with people on that level. It's when, like you said, like when someone comes up to you and like, I've literally like, dude, I've walked by people and they go, cancer. And I go, okay. okay.
What are you supposed to say to that?
Exactly. Because if you did that to any other person who had cancer, they would be like, fuck you forever. That like, like it's just crazy. And maybe that's on me for being so vulnerable and like making such a joke of it. But like there's some times where I'm like, hey, I'm just trying to go get like lunch. Like I'm hungry. Or like, I don't know. Like it's just like,
yeah.
Sometimes it's like, hey, maybe don't go up to someone and just scream like what you know them for.
Yeah,
it's
mean,
a lot
like,
better to be like, hey, you're so-and-so. I'm aware of you. How are you? I'm this type of person. I'm this guy.
Yeah. Like, even if that is your joke, like, it kind of doesn't make sense to just, like, scream that at you. That
yeah.
would be, like, going up to, like, a musician and, like, singing at them. Like,
yeah.
yell singing at
yeah,
them.
Have you sing
I mean?
Their entire song?
But hey, it's Lizzo. I just had a DNA test.
Yeah. You saw Lizzo and you're like, I also play the flute. Or whatever, you know, whatever flutes do, you know.
as a stand-up comedian, I mean, I just always wonder, like, if there's ever been a time when you're performing and you, like, forget what you're supposed to say or what you were supposed to do.
There's times. There's been times where I've completely, like, there's been times where, like, even on this last tour that we did, which was, like, we did, like, 60-something shows, I would still be backstage going through my set, and I'm, Dean and Curtis will attest to this. Like, they'll be like, that I am a nervous wreck and a psychopath before shows, because before every show, I'm like, I forget all my jokes. As if, like, I forget that I had cancer. Because that's, like, the whole thing. Even though I've done it.
It's your
hundreds,
life.
It's hundreds of times. Like, we did so many shows. It's weird that I would forget those jokes. But, like,
I feel like that would happen to me, too, definitely. Even though it's, like,
it does happen. It does happen where you're, like, on stage and, like, I don't know, like, luckily that I've been doing it, like, somewhat long enough that, like, I have, like, things that help me, you know, get through a set if I'm lacking. Or, like, there's times where, like, I just miss an entire part of a joke. And then I just move on.
You write
on.
It down on your hand. You're like, and,
And I'm like, oh, this is all sweaty. Never mind.
That would be so funny.
But, like, it's, more times than not, it's if I find that I will, it's not that I will, like, just, like, forget and be like, oh, I'm sorry, I forget the jokes. But there's times where I'm like, I will just, like, take a pause and, like, you know, whether it might be, like, something where, like, I might go, like, because I'll have a notebook there just to, for this joke, like, I'll go look at it and be like, oh, cancer, right, and then I get back into the thing. But it gives me enough
nice
time.
Save, dude.
It gives me enough time to, like, be like, where am I? So there's, like, things like that that, like, that are helpful and, like, give me a bit of time to be like, okay, silly joke here, silly joke there.
If you forget a joke, I think you should just say, can I has cheeseburger?
Can I has, all right, guys, I don't know this joke, but I will say, can I has cheeseburger, please? Or polls? I'm sorry. Sorry, everybody. Polls.
That would be a hit.
I think that would be a hit. That should be, like, the new, I think it might be become the new, like, hack comedy is, like, being, like, anti-comedy millennial soon.
Yeah.
That'd be like the new hack bit of being like, do you remember this guy? And then people were like, yes, we all remember it. Good, move on. Next thing now, please.
With the way that people's attention spans are shrinking, that wouldn't surprise me. Like, imagine, like, halfway through a joke, they're like, ugh.
Yes, absolutely. Dude, absolutely. It will happen. It will happen.
Like, move on.
Yep, move on, dude. Get over
next
it.
Next joke, please.
Next joke. Okay. We are on this thing now, idiot.
How does it feel going on your own independent tour? That's so cool.
It's so exciting. It's so cool. It's so cool. Like, obviously, like, I'm just so thankful for, like, everything that, like, Curtis has done for me, everything that, like, Dean has done for me. And, like, without those guys, I feel like, I don't know, like, Dean and I say it all the time. We're like, without, you know, Curtis, like, we don't have, like, I don't know, he's done a lot for us to make sure that, like, we are, He's like the best friend. He's so supportive of us, and he's like the fucking best. So I don't know. I just want to, like, recognize him. Aww. Being like, without him, I feel like this is impossible. That guy's like, he's the fucking best. It's so cool to know that, like, folks are interested in coming to see us and see, like, me and see Dean. And, like, I don't know. It's really cool. It's really cool. And I feel I'm nervous, of course. Like, I want people to come to the show. So if you're in, if you live in those, go check out my website at jacobsharp.com/tour. And if you live in Canada, come see me and Dean do stand up. But I am so excited for that tour. I'm so excited. That's going to be a really fun show. It's also going to be, like, I'm really excited because it's just going to be me. It's Dean's doing a set, I'm doing a set, and then we're going to do, like, a little thing together. So I'm really excited to do that. It's going to be, it's all going to be in rec rooms. I don't know if you guys have rec rooms in the States? No, I
is
guess
it
you
like,
wouldn't. It's like a Dave and Buster's.
Oh, okay.
But it's, they have, like, a theater in the rec room. So it's like,
interesting.
It's like a video game, like, bar, like Dave and Buster's, except they also have, like, a theater. So, like, we're going to perform there. And then, like, Dean and I will probably just play video games all night. But, like,
that's so interesting. To be fair, though, I haven't been to too many comedy shows, so I don't know if, like, in the United States, like, there's also, like, a ton of, like, maybe, like, the equivalent to rec rooms. I've only seen Steve-O, like, once. So
no way.
Yeah.
When did you see Steve-O?
I saw him, gosh, this had to have been, like, 2-3 years ago.
Okay, because Last time when we toured in November 2021, and a lot of the venues we did, Steve-O was also doing.
You know what's funny? At that same Steve-O show, I literally saw Eddie Burback there, but I was too scared to say hi.
No way!
Yeah.
Oh, you should have. I'm sure Eddie would've
known
that.
I was like, no, I can't. I can't do this.
Oh, no way. Oh, well, I'm sure he would have. Eddie's a sweetheart. He would have been happy to say hi.
Yeah, he seems really nice.
Cool guy.
He's one of the only people that I think I haven't really met yet. So that's okay. That's on my list of people. Like, I'm collecting all of the commentary YouTubers, like Pokemon cards or like a gauntlet, like an infinity gauntlet. So like after after we became mutuals, I was like, okay, I got Jacob. Like, you got- I was like so proud. I was so
Hell
happy.
Yeah. Dude, yeah, you got to get like you're going to start collecting like legendaries, like pseudo legendaries. Like it's going to be crazy. Like collecting shinies of commentary.
Exactly. I have like Animal Crossing, like amiibos of you guys, like
that's
little guys.
Really
like,
funny. Yep.
Well, I did have one more very important thing to tell you. And
good.
It's that,
Go for it.
It's that I love that you call people buddy. That's like,
really?
Ever been called buddy before in my whole entire life. Like it should be more commonplace.
Really?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm gonna call Nikki, I'm gonna call you buddy now forever.
Thank you.
That's so weird to me because like I call everyone like I like calling my friends buddy. I like I don't know, it's fun for me and it's
nice.
I don't know.
Like,
oh, that's
awesome.
I've never
had people call me that, let alone like a guy. I feel like guys don't usually like address girls as like buddy, but like you saying that made me feel like so comfortable. I was like, I trust Jacob because he called me his buddy.
Oh, great. Well, you are my buddy. So like that's that's awesome to hear.
That needs to be more commonplace. Like, yeah. I believe in buddy supremacy.
Buddy supremacy. Whoa. Yeah. Buddy is like, it's S tier, I think. That's like it's top shelf. Like it's
definitely S tier.
Yeah, totally like God tier, I guess. Like just like kind of
totally like
God tier. Yeah, just kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of like a poggers saying, I guess, if you will. Kind of like, I don't know.
It's kind of very
poggers. Yeah. Well, yeah, you're telling me, buddy. I guess anyways.
Yes, you are.
Ironic, it's like the irony of dabbing is now becoming again unironic, where like
I love dabbing.
It's hilarious.
I don't think I can do it yet. I'm not at that point where I'm like, this is funny if I do it, but I love seeing other people do it.
No, but if you do the, if you're like, well, just so you know, I did a thing like that. I think that works. Kids love dabbing. Little kids think it's hilarious. Or like, dude, shooting or whatever.
Dude.
Or like the Fortnite dance. Like kids fucking eat that shit up. They love it. They love it.
And you know, dude, kids are so easy to make laugh. Like yesterday I watched the Mario movie in theater.
Yep.
And I was sitting next to a kid and literally like in a trailer before the movie even started, there was like this fully like this movie is for old people. It was like a old people movie.
Yep.
And like there was a joke about like a pet peacock being made into like a turkey. Like they accidentally ate the pet peacock. And this kid was like, oh, that's so funny. Like he literally said, that's so funny.
That's the best. That's the best. But like, it's true. Like, my sisters are, I have two sisters that are 3 and 4 right now. And
that's cute.
They like, but I love hanging out with them because like they're like, the bar is pretty low for comedy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, I fucking kill. Like with my two younger sisters, like I fucking, like all my bits, killer. Like they like whenever I like, I'll like poke their bellies and make a fart noise, they think it's the funniest thing they've ever heard. Because farts are new to them.
Yeah.
So it's like, and then they like, when you poke their belly, they're like, well, that's silly. They like anything silly, or if I like make a goofy face, like they think it's nuts. Or I, if
little
I face,
do they know that farting never gets old.
It never gets old. It never gets old. It actually only gets funnier and funnier.
It's killer.
It is killer. It's a perfect bit. That's the thing. If you ever forget a joke, and I'll say that to anyone who's getting into stand-up, if you ever forget a joke, make a fart noise and then just move on.
I don't think I've ever made a video without the fart echo.
Dude, it's the fart with reverb sound. Perfect if it's a thing where you're like, ah, that joke wasn't that good. Add the fart sound.
It becomes acceptable and even good after the fart
It's you're like, oh my God. I think you're the king of comedy.
That's how I feel. I mean, literally, I did one video standing up where I never stand up in videos, I just tried to do one standing up. And after that, I was like, for some reason, I was like, dude, I'm like the queen of comedy, dude. Like, I'm so funny. Like, just standing up with a microphone makes you feel funny for some reason.
Yes,
do you
does.
Feel that way?
Yes, always. Because it's just innately silly to be like, to stand up and be like, all right, I have some goofy things to say. Like, it feels so unnatural that it just becomes funny.
Yeah, like it is. It's, like, to just be pacing around a room saying, like, just
like
being silly. I don't know. That just makes it so much more funny.
Like, and that's the thing is, like, the amount of times where I'm like, I'm just talking to no one. At a certain point, like, it does go to some people. Like, and like they watch it on YouTube. But before that's all edited and everything, I'm a guy in his room just saying what he thinks is funny. Like, it's really, it's insanity to me where I'm like,
that's
I'm
so
like,
true.
Because I'm like, I look at my phone and then I look at something else and I'm like, so that's what I think about that. And then like, I put like the or whatever. And I'm like, see, there's the video though.
Yeah. And even before that, there's like the process of like writing a script. Well, I don't know. Do you write scripts usually? Or do you
No, I like, wow, it's always funny. Like when I've seen comments before where people are like, we can tell that you scripted that. I'm like,
really?
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, good. You should. It's like, I don't know. It's like, if you come see me do stand up, do you think that that's all off the top of the head?
Yeah. Like,
do
you think that made it up?
Do you think that I went up and I'm like, all right, what am I going to talk about today? Like, it's, of course it's scripted and thought out. Like, it's, I think that's so interesting to be like, yeah, wait, are Oscar award winning movies scripted? They didn't just improvise that? That's so embarrassing.
Like, wow, that's so weird. I'm not going to watch that anymore because I know they didn't just come up with that.
You had to write that down? You couldn't just think of it? Ugh. All right. Better luck next time.
The process of even like writing a script is funny too because it's like I'm writing down. Like, I'm literally writing down, so then this happened, and then I'll put, like, the little asterisk, I'll put, like, the little star in Google Docs, and then put fart sound effect.
Yup. The amount of times that I'm, like, or I'll put in, like, not even, and this is why maybe I'm, like, I think sometimes I'm not sometimes, I am a lazy person, I am a lazy writer, but, like, I'll just be like, I'll put even, not even fart sound effect, I'll be, like, funny sound effect here. Not even, like, you got to find something that would be silly right here.
Like, it's not even that specific. It's just like, oh, just worry about it later.
Yep. And I'm just
figure
like
out that sound effect later.
Yeah. And I'm like, or I'll be like, Jacob improvises here, or Jacob, like, Jacob,
you
Jacob
write that
says,
in there.
I'll write Jacob says something funny. I have done that before. Be like, say something silly here, which is
and
crazy.
Does that work? Like,
no.
Is it okay when you go to record?
When I'm half the time I'm recording, I'm like, what the fuck am I trying to say? Like, I was like, I should have done this. I shouldn't have played Pokemon for 2 days in a row. I should have written this down.
I've never fully accepted that I'm going to have to improvise some things the way that you do. Like, and I think when I write them, I think I pretend like, oh, this is probably fine. This is probably enough. But then when it comes to recording, it's like, no, that's like, that's not even close to being enough. Like, you need to make something up right now.
Half the time, I'm just like, that's nothing, man. What did I think like at the beginning of the week?
You wrote two sentences.
I was like, that's nothing. That's barely anything. Or sometimes where I'm like, I said the same thing 4 times. Great. And then I get to the edit and I'm like, I have to cut out like 5 minutes of this shit because it's me saying the same thing over and over.
I mean, that's all it really is sometimes.
That's true. Me being like, whoa, that's crazy. Anyways.
That's fucked up.
I'll see you guys next time.
I try to too, and I've barely been like, I barely started live streaming like a couple weeks ago, and initially that was like horrifying to me to like think like I have to be like funny and people are watching me like right now, like I just have to make something up. That was like horrifying to me, but now I'm just over it. Now I'm just like,
Oh yeah, you do find like, you know, comfort in it. Like I remember there was times like when I first started making videos, I would get like shaky, like I was going to go up on stage or something.
Yeah.
Like which was nuts to me because I was like, it's literally all in my control.
Yeah.
I get to control exactly what is said and put out. You can just I would be speeding through stuff and I'd be like, "Oh, blah 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 blah." But and I was like, "Why am I saying it like it's like this is the edit? Like why don't I just say it slow and then I can chop it up here and there to make it the way I want it?"
I mean, I think even up until recently, I had been also trying to like emulate what I thought that I should sound like in videos.
Then
it's only recently that I've been getting more comfortable in like my own like skin and just the way that I would deliver something, just the way I would say something. And I don't know. It's nice when you get to that point.
It is. And I think that's a big thing. Like, it's so funny trying to explain like YouTube to folks or like making videos and stuff, because it's like people are like, "Oh, so you just turn on a camera and then you post it and then that's your job?" And I'm like, yeah, but it's also like it's this other thing of like trying to find your voice, trying to make sure that it's funny, trying to make sure that you like it, trying to make sure that other people like it, trying to make sure that it's interesting, engaging, funny. Dude, thumbnails.
Choosing a topic, the thumbnail.
Thumbnails to me, thumbnails is like an art of its own. It's like a whole.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy to me that like there's a whole system that takes in certain aspects of an algorithm to show it to certain people at certain times. That's fucking crazy.
People think that thumbnails are becoming more obsolete because of how when you scroll through YouTube on your phone, like they show you like the first like couple seconds of the video rather than lingering on the thumbnail too long.
Oh yeah.
So
You
know, that is interesting too. And like
yeah, the hover aspect, I guess. Yeah, like
that does relieve like a little bit of stress from it, but it also gives me stress because I don't like change.
Yeah, neither do I. Just stay like that. Like I just got used to that.
Me and my boyfriend a couple months ago were hanging out with his grandpa. And we were like airdropping him like a bunch of stuff on his phone to like mess with him. And
we
kept sending it.
That's okay. Do you know how the new update has a thing where it's like you can only have it public to everyone for like a few minutes?
Yeah.
That's
he had
because
his own
of,
for some reason.
But that's because of people like us who are like, "I'm gonna send this photo of some guy's fucked up foot to everyone on this plane or something." Like, that's the reason
everybody
they did
at
that.
Disneyland needs to see this image. Dude,
you guys are going to love this fucking meme of Carl Weezer. And it just says bottom text. Like, everyone's going to freak out if they see
it. I want you to see this video of Donald Trump saying Obama and Joe Biden saying soda.
Yep. I want everyone to see the "Don't come, I'm gonna come." I want everyone to see that.
I'm gonna come.
So
funny.
It's
that was actually a pretty good impression.
I'm gonna come. Like it's. I can't stop watching it. I hate that guy, but man,
that's such a funny video.
That is a perfect out of context video.
Anyways, wait. So what I was saying is we were airdropping him a bunch of pictures of like different emojis, like, you know, like funny emojis, like. Like ones that aren't real, you know what I mean?
Like the ones where it has like
yeah,
this
like they'll be doing stuff
and
like
it's like crying and shit. Yeah, yeah, like red eyes. Yeah, yeah. I have a ton of them saved to my computer.
Me too. And he said, he was like, "Stop changing." He said,
"No,
stop changing my emoji."
Oh, poor guy. So he thought that by sending photos and seeing it like big blown up, he was like, "No, do I have to use this forever?"
He thought that like he was getting his designated emoji changed. It was so sad, but so funny.
So like, so innocent. There is innocence with older folks on their phones where they're like, "I can't read it. Can you just like, make it like huge?"
Yeah, like the text on their phone will be like huge.
It's like one letter at a time. Yes, yes. I love, I love, like, where it's so loud and it's, like, the one that's, like, someone smashing an xylophone, basically. It's like, like, it's so loud because they're like, well, sometimes I don't hear it.
Dude, old people never use vibrate for some reason. I don't understand why.
Or I think sometimes they do. They just don't realize. And it's like, and then they like, it vibrates and like, what the fuck is that? Like, they forget that they have a phone in their pocket.
It's startling.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I guess the moral of the story is like, stop changing people's emojis.
Stop changing people's emojis, dude. Stop fucking with grandpa's phone. He just got it. He just figured it out. Stop messing with his phone. I wish they would do that once. Like, Apple would be like, here's all, like, the fucked up meme emojis.
Yeah.
They should do that.
Even if it was just for, like, a week. Like, can't you just give us what we want for, like, a second?
Because then it would, like, it would normalize it, and then we'd be over it.
Yeah.
It would be done.
Yeah, for sure. Then it would just be like, okay, whatever. We gotta find new jokes now. We gotta find new humor.
Yeah. It's like when they, like, start to, like, I don't know, when you start to see, like meme culture and, like, commercials and stuff.
And you know, and it's over.
And they're,
you
know, like, yeah, trust me, guys, Taco Bell is not Chuggy. And then you're like, all right, well, that word's gone now. That word is gone. That's done.
It's dead.
That's done.
It's dead.
Because you're using it to sell Crunchwrap Supreme, so I think it's done now.
I only think that, like, memes that come from companies are funny when it's unintentional. Like,
yeah.
The Whopper Whopper thing. That is so funny.
Yes, super funny. Because, like, it's funny because they don't really know what they did.
Yeah.
They don't know. Again, it's like grandpa being like, wait, what? What did happen? Why'd you change my emoji? I mean, no, I'm in on the joke, but like,
yeah,
what?
But why? Anyways, Whopper Whopper Jr. Whopper, Karen, please give me back the kids.
Yeah, it's... Please. Please.
To close out the podcast, I always ask my guests if they have a movie and a song to recommend, like their favorite movie and song of the week. Do you have one?
I mean, I will say that, okay, so Eilish and I just went and saw Dungeons and Dragons in theaters.
How was it?
It was really good. I genuinely really liked it. Trying to think. Good movies. I mean, one of my all-time favorite movies is It's Such a Beautiful Day.
I love that movie.
Really?
And, like, nobody has ever, like, seen it. And it's, dude, not on any streaming platforms. I know. I have it on DVD, literally.
No way.
Like, I have to
bring
it a DVD player to watch it because it's, like,
so
nowhere.
Good. It still had that animation style of the I am a banana thing.
I have, like, you know the part where he's sitting in a hospital bed, and I'm sorry if this is spoilers.
No.
Who hasn't
go
seen
for it,
it.
Go for it.
But, like, just skip ahead, like, 10 seconds if you want to watch this movie without a spoiler. There's a part where Bill is, like, in his bed, and he's dying, and his, like, family members are around him, mm-hmm. and, like, he feels like he should say something, like, big and important, and he doesn't know what to say, yeah. So he just says, it smells like dust and moonlight.
Yep.
I have that tattooed, like, on, like, a like this, like, it's, like, a little thing, like, on my ribs, and it's, like, the same, like, writing style as in the movie.
Yep.
Because, I don't know, it's that felt, like, very... like, profound to me.
It's so profound. There's so many things in that. There's things that are, like, so subtle and so dumb that I scream laughing, and then there's things like that make me want to, like, bawl my eyes out. Or, like, the thing where he's, like, walking by the guy, and he wants to say, like, what's up, or he wants to say, how are you, but he ends up just going away. That movie is, like, the epitome of how I feel sometimes walking around. And, like... I watched it again when I was sick, and I was like, it, like, changed my entire perspective about, like, being sick and, like, what life means and stuff. It's a fascinating movie. I think it's amazing.
Wow. So you had seen it before you got sick, and then...
Yeah, I saw it for the first time when I started living with Curtis when we were in college, and then I saw it again when I was sick because I was like, oh, I haven't seen that movie in a long time, and I think that'd be nice. And I watched it in the hospital, and then I was just like, yeah, I think this is going to change me a little bit. And
wow.
It was amazing.
I can't imagine, like, watching that movie in that situation.
Dude,
so
well, the scene where it's supposed to be him driving through the night, and, like, the voice just, like, and he keeps driving and driving, he keeps going, and then it, like, dips into that. I don't want to spoil anything, but, like, it dips into, like, the, like, he like the morality of like, or the immortality of him and stuff, and like all that like crazy shit. Like I was like, it unlocked a lot of like stuff with like nihilism in myself, of being like, oh, it's kind of like all a joke, and it's all like, you know, we're all gonna die and all that stuff. And like, but it was really good for me to watch when I was sick. It was really cool.
Jacob, it's so crazy that you just said that, because I watched that movie with my boyfriend.
Yeah.
And he lost one of the most important people in his life to cancer.
Oh, no. No way.
He specifically pointed out that part as being something that he felt like reminded them of her, and like her experience with cancer. So it's just so interesting that you said that. Like, I feel like something like that is, that's really speaks to people like who are like suffering from their own illness. Absolutely. You know, that's so interesting.
Wow. That's incredible. I mean, like that, I think that's an intentional part of the movie though, is like to show like this person who's going through a sickness, and then it shows like how normal his life is and was. And then it ends with such like a grandiose thing where like, I don't know. It just like, for me, it's like every time I watch it, I feel like I take something away that's like brand new.
Yeah.
And like, but yeah, like that scene especially, I was like, I related to a lot. So that's interesting that like your boyfriend was like, that reminds me of that person. That's so fascinating. Yeah. Favorite song?
Favorite song?
Or new song right now?
Switching the subject. Dude. Hold on. Actually, let me play you guys a silly sound effect so we can feel a little better.
Okay.
Number 12.
You can't hear it because it's on my Rodecaster, but just pretend you can hear it.
And my song is right now. So I just finished the show Shrinking, which I really enjoyed. I know that people are like,
I've never heard of that.
It's like another like Ted Lasso type show. It's like made by the same people. But it's all about like therapy and stuff. And it's like, I thought it was really interesting. But the opening song is, it's called Frightening Fishes. I think it's by the guys from Death Cab for Cutie, but Tom Howe and Ben Gibbard. I've been listening to my buddy Freddie Dredd. He's the fucking coolest. I've been listening to a lot of Freddie lately. And I would say, oh dude, I've been listening to Hello by, you know the song Hello by Martin Solveig and Dragonette?
No, I don't. I'm gonna listen to that after this, though.
That it's like a fucking pop song from like when I was in high school, and I've been listening to it a ton lately.
Dude,
you know this?
Do know that song. I just came to say
hello. Like, dude, that song rocks.
Dude, I've that also fucking rocks. You know, I love listening to music like that, and especially like Calvin Harris, or if like, if I feel so close to you right now. Like,
dude,
if that comes on, dude, so good.
It's the best. Like, there's some songs like that I'm like, no, that's like a good song. Like, I don't care if it's from this time, but it's a good song.
It's good. I mean, the top 100 songs.
I'd say. Fuck it. Dude, that's right fair. There with fucking Crazy Frog by Axel F.
Yeah.
I'll say it.
By the way, why does Crazy Frog have a penis?
He used to. It was taken away because they realized that it was for kids.
This is what they've taken from us.
That's what they've taken from us. That there was a frog that used to have a penis, and his name was Crazy Frog. And then there was
I can't believe the liberals took that away from
they
us.
They took his dick, man. They took his dick. These fucking libs, these lib cucks, they took Crazy Frog's dick. You can't say anything anymore. They took Crazy Frog's dick. It's so fucked up. Things are so fucked up right now, dude. We're so, that's why we're so divided.
Yeah.
There's people who are pro Crazy Frog dick, and then there's people who are not pro Crazy Frog dick.
That's not okay. That's
more like,
crazy.
More like Crazy Hog, you know what I mean? Because of his hog. But another one that I've been listening to is Together Again by Janet Jackson. That song's been hitting lately for me.
Okay, this sounds like a banger. I'm gonna add it to my likes. I haven't heard it though.
It's a juicy one. It's a juicy one.
I love it when 90s songs have that classic like
Yep. That old techno like this is what dancing was like in the 90s. Like we would we would all put on like our thin sunglasses and we would all go to the club and do 90s ecstasy and dance.
That's such a fun era, dude. I'm sure there was lots of things wrong with it, but from an outsider looking in, I'm like, dang, I wish I was there.
They're gonna say the same thing about Shrek Rave in like 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen.
Damn, I wish I was there.
There is one more song I wanted to. I've been listening to a lot of Ice Spice lately too. Ice Spice rocks.
Oh, she's cool.
There's a song called Shine by Bishop Gunn. It's like a country song, but it's like, I don't know, it's really sweet. I don't know why, it just makes me feel really good. It's also the intro song for Theo Von, his podcast. I was listening, he had Neil deGrasse Tyson on recently, so I listened to that episode. And
wow, that's
I had never really listened to his podcast before, but I was like, I'll listen to Neil deGrasse Tyson. I think Theo Von Zio, he can be either really great or he can say some pretty wild stuff. So, but that's
I'll
the intro.
I'll give that a listen later.
It's a good song. It's a good song, and I was shocked that it was the intro for his podcast.
When somebody actually has a good song at the beginning of the podcast, that's shocking.
That's crazy. That's nuts. It wasn't made on like Ableton by like a friend or something. Like that
yeah,
always blows
exactly.
my mind. Yeah.
Like, the very really good song in the beginning now. Goes crazy.
It goes fucking hard.
Nuts.
It goes fucking hard,
balls.
Dude. It goes balls to the wall, if
balls
you will.
Balls and cock just out.
To the wall. That goes cock to the wall.
Last thing we always do is I tell everybody to clean their fucking room, and then you get to tell them in your own special way. You could be nice. You could be mean. You can
clean your room. Is that a Jordan Peterson reference?
It's not. I actually barely found out that he has said that in the past, and I was like, well, I don't give a fuck, like I'm not gonna stop saying that. I think I'm gonna
reclaiming it is I think the move, because I've I've seen that guy say that, but I like
he's
I
like,
think
fuck him
fuck that guy. I fucking do not like that guy. I think he's a bad guy, and I think he's doing a bad thing for men.
I think
and,
he's an F-tier philosopher too.
He is
he
he's
says,
a
like,
shit
cringe shit like where he's like Tinkerbell is the symbolism of sex and Peter Pan is the I don't know.
Yeah, I don't like that guy.
Some stupid shit.
I wanna punch him in the fucking head. Yeah, you know what? Here, I'll say this. How about clean your bum? Can I say that? Okay, everybody. So why don't you get out there, clean your bum, dude? Because you know that's how you kind of like that's how you got to go through life, dude. You can't be going through with stinky shardy shit. But if you are, you always have a chance. Even if you have a dirty bum, you'll always have a chance to clean it. I'll always give you that chance, guys.
A lot of people wouldn't give you that chance, so be grateful.
I'm all about second chances, third chances even. I don't care how much diarrhea you have. You'll always have a chance with me.
Exactly.
Yeah. Except for Jordan Peterson. That guy does not get a second chance. That guy has to live
Jordan
with his dirty
Peterson.
Bum. Bad guy.
You know why? Because trans people are my friends.
Yes.
And Jordan Peterson is not.
He is not my friend. He is not my friend. And I don't like the way he talks about people. I don't like the way he talks about women. I don't like the way he talks about trans people. I don't like the way he talks about anything. He's a bad guy.
Exactly.
But anyways, we can end on a better note. Clean your butt. Thanks so much for having me on, Nikki. This was awesome. I fucking love this.
Thanks for coming on. And I'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye, guys. Bye.